This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3285 for Friday the 5th of March 2021. Today's show is entitled, Upgrading Ubuntu on my Samsung N150 Plus Netbook. It is hosted by Mr. X, and is about 18 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Ubuntu 16.04 LTS to 20.04.1 LTS upgrade on aging Samsung N150 Plus Netbook.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X, and welcome to this podcast. As per usual, I'd like to thank the people at HPR for making this service available to us all. HPR is a community-led podcast provided by the community for the community. That means you can contribute too. Why don't you pick up a microphone or a mobile phone or a dictaphone or anything you've got to hand, hit the record button, and send something in. It's really quite easy. They've gone to a lot of effort to make it simple and slimline the whole process. And it's you might find it quite therapeutic, as I do. Anyway, it's late December 2020. The thing is still going on. I recorded a previous episode which hasn't gone out, neither's this one yet. I'm guessing this will be a second follow-on one to the previous one, which hasn't gone out yet. And I will try in this occasion to speak a little slower, a little less frantic. Try not to clip my audio, because I noticed there was a bit of clipping going on, so I backed that off a little bit. I think it was all done in a bit of a rush, so I'm a bit more relaxed, at ease with the world. So, moving on. In this episode, I'm going to cover, I've been upgrading my machines because I've got a wee bit of time on my hands at last. And the second machine I'm upgrading this on this occasion is my aging Samsung N150 Plus netbook. I got given it from Mrs. X. I'm sure I've mentioned this to you before. And there's one thing about it that I thought was quite surprising. And so she got it, and it came with Windows 7, and it ran for a bit over a year, something like that, absolutely fine. And then just after, I think it was just after the year, you know, after the warranty's up, of course. But it started to run slow and slower and slower and slower, to the point where it would take forever to boot up. I mean, just took forever. And she said, well, I've not got any use for it, you can just have it, so thank you very much. So we still got Windows 7 on it, but I partitioned it and installed Ubuntu. I think it was Ubuntu installed originally. I can't remember, I think that's maybe the second time, this could be the third time I've upgraded Ubuntu. But the point is anyway, that once I installed Linux on it, it was absolutely fine, and it's never slowed down. Now, I'm sure a lot of you might be tempted to blame Microsoft for this, but I don't think it is. I think it's the suppliers of the netbook, whether it's the shop or Samsung itself. But it must be the software that they're installing on this thing is actually, I suspect it's although I have no categorical proof, but I suspect it's set to make the machine run like a bag of old nails after a year or so after the warranty's gone, and there's no need for that. I mean, that's just verging on being criminal, really. Anyway, that's my rant over. This is about the upgrade, my third upgrade, I think, at least the third upgrade to this Samsung. So I'm going from, I was going to upgrade from Ubuntu 16.04 LTS to 20.04, actually I ended up 20.04.1 LTS. So the first thing I did is I copied all of my important documents and files onto a hard drive just to back them up, just in case things went wrong. And then I had a wee bit digging around, and I found that I think now, I'm sorry, I've not done a lot of research after the fact. I was just, as per usual, just keen to get the thing done. But when I googled, I found that an upgrade really wasn't possible from 16.04, Ubuntu 16.04 to 20.04. And this is, I think, because the Ubuntu team switched desktops or something like that. Obviously things were in a bit of a flux, and they switched to a different desktop environment, and it wasn't really possible to, they said if you did it, that it would end up with a non-booting machine, I seem to remember. I don't have a link for that, I don't know where I read that, but it was just something I googled at the time. So it was just as well I backed up all my files. So I downloaded a fresh version of Ubuntu 20.04.1, and I found a spare 32 gig USB stick. I had to then copy all the files from that into a safe place, and then of course it all takes time. I opened the download image using Disk Image Writer. I think this is the first time I've actually used that. I can't remember how I did it in the past, whether it was DD or something else, I don't know, but it was very easy. Very easy indeed. I was quite impressed with I think it's something I've never really thought to use before for some reason. I'm not sure why. But anyway, yeah, I'm sure you've already found that to be the case, and I'm probably slow in the uptake to use Image Writer. So I switched on the laptop, hit F2 to check the boot order and whatnot, and it set it to USB. And I booted from the USB stick. It's a live distro. And so I tried a few things out. I found that the mouse speed was really slow on the trackpad, and I was trying to adjust it, but it didn't seem to make any difference. I discovered what it was later on, so I'll maybe cover it later on. I connected the Wi-Fi, and the Wi-Fi connecting icon and the process seemed a lot more clunky than, a bit more clunky than, and I ended up going through the menus a few times. You've got to kind of do a single scan sweep and then pick the what things that it finds. But it just seemed, unfortunately I didn't write any notes on this, but I do remember it being a lot more clunky than it was previously. However, it did connect and it was fine, so that seemed okay. I went to YouTube and played a few videos just to make sure that they worked okay. The volume keys worked okay to adjust the volume up and down. Not particularly important, but I've got volume keys on the netbook. So I thought, hey, okay, that's good enough. I'm not using it for very much, just for simple SSHing into things and cutting and pasting a few things, some Firefox or something. A bit of scripting or whatever as well. So that'll be fine. So I went through the install process, and I selected manual partitioning because I couldn't make head nor sense of, I wasn't sure what it was going to do, so I thought, well, I'll play in a safe side. If I do it myself, then I've only got myself to blame, but if I leave it to decide, then it might go haywire. It's what I usually tend to do, actually, to be fair. I usually do it manually. So I used existing partition, and so I formatted the existing Ubuntu partition and the swap partition, which is on SDA6. And so then that was fine, went through the whole process. It was slow, took a long time on this wee netbook, but eventually it completed and booted the thing up. And I was kind of surprised, and maybe it's because I do these upgrades, these installs so infrequently, but it remembered the Wi-Fi connection between boots, so that was nice. That was a nice touch. So I didn't need to go through arduous nonsense of trying to connect again. And so after, but it mentioned something about doing a full upgrade, and it didn't give any details, so I wasn't quite sure, was it going to go from 2004 to 20.10, which would have taken it out of the LTS release, because remember this is 2004, I like to stick to LTS releases because it's such a nuisance to upgrade, so I want it to last as long as possible. So I was a wee bit reluctant, but I said yes to that. And at the end of the full upgrade, as they called it, you know, after the first boot, I tried to do LSB underscore release, and of course that didn't work, because that's been, something's happened to that, just like on my previous install for the Pi. So I did cat /etc/os-release, and yes, I was still still running 2004 LTS, so that was good, excellent. The login screen has an option, has a desktop option, but by default it's set to Lubuntu. Now I don't know what that means, what desktop environment it means. I'd recognise GNOME, I think I'd recognise KDE, but I'm a bit rusty with all the different desktop environments, so I don't actually know what the default Lubuntu desktop was, but anyway, the default one, I found it to be really a bit slow and unresponsive. It was fast enough, but it was a bit slow, and I also found that the decoration around the terminal windows was a bit clunky, and obviously it's a wee netbook with a small screen. So that made it, it meant that things tended to wrap on the screen, and I'm sure I could have, maybe, there's probably options to tidy things up and everything, but I did think it was a bit clunky on such a small screen. So on that boot screen, I tried one of the other desktops, and I think there may have only been one more, I can't remember, but there was one, LXQT. So I picked that one, and I was also pleased to find that when I rebooted it, it remembered that setting, which was quite nice. And it was a bit more responsive, and the terminal screen was much tidier. The text didn't wrap, and the whole experience was much more fluid. Still not as quick as the previous Lubuntu, but I guess it's just everything gets a bit fatter, and it's a really old netbook, so what can I expect, I guess, but certainly usable, so that's the main thing, although so that's fine. What I found with I was saying this, the mouse speed was too slow, and I was kind of sort of thinking that the mouse and trackpad were the same thing, but they're not, of course, silly me. There's actually an option for the trackpad, so it was in preferences, LXQT settings, keyboard and mouse and touchpad, acceleration speed, and I think it was set to 0.1, and it's now set to 5. I just think and I also selected single click to activate items. I just felt that the interface was a wee bit, you know, I felt maybe that for somebody who was just starting out, they might find some of the interface a wee bit more slightly confusing. If you're a seasoned Linux user, you'd be fine, but I don't know, I thought it was a cleaner, simpler with the previous Lubuntu. Just my general observations. Could just be me, of course. I installed some of my favourites like Midnight Commander, NCDU, Screen, PV, Mock, SSH. Generated some RSA keys so that I could log into my Pi 13 upstairs, no problems. I copied all my files and documents from my portable hard drive back onto the laptop. Now, this time, because I had installed MC Midnight Commander, I thought I'd use it. And, I was surprised how good Midnight Commander was. Actually, when I was copying the files off the laptop, the netbook, it crashed a couple of times and I had to split the job up because it locked up a couple of times. It's probably due to limitations of RAM and whatnot. But also with the trackpad and whatnot, it's so easy to lift your finger off and, you know, put things in the wrong place. I generally use Control C, Control V when I'm using file managers like that. I don't like moving things with the mouse because it's so easy to put something in the wrong place, let it go, bang, and off you go. You've made a disaster, you know. But Midnight Commander was so nice. It gave a constant percentage of the progress of each individual file being copied, an overall progress, which was also very useful and reassuring with such a slow laptop. I mean, with a GUI file manager that comes with Lubuntu, I wasn't actually sure for a long time whether the machine crashed or not. Where you would instantly know with Midnight Commander, I had no crashes at all with that. It just ran completely smooth, completely fast. It's just, you know, if you're going to be doing things like that, I thoroughly recommend Midnight Commander. I don't use it on a day-to-day basis, to be fair, but for something like that, I guess it's one of these things, if you use it's the right tool for the right job, I suppose, you know. Yeah, so finally, some general thoughts and observations. I maybe already covered some of this. The keyboard screen brightness buttons, keyboard buttons don't work anymore. There's a keyboard, quite a nice keyboard capture facility where you pick the option and you say, and you hit a button, and then when you hit a key, it picks up the key combination that you're pushing, and then records it. So that's fine. And I thought maybe it wasn't recognising the function key followed by the brightness up and down button, but it turned out it wasn't that, because it also tells you the command that's not running to do the action. So I pasted that command into a terminal and it didn't push the brightness up and down, so it's something else that's at fault. Now I haven't looked into that, and I may not even bother because it's not that big a deal, but it worked with the previous version of Lubuntu. Boot time is much slower than the previous Lubuntu, maybe twice as slow, because it was quite snappy at booting up previously. It still feels a little sluggish now, but I think it's perfectly usable. I've got a feeling this might actually be the last upgrade this netbook sees, as it's now getting a bit long in the tooth. It's got limited RAM and the processor's pretty low grade, and really is quite a few years old now. And of course the power switch is snapped off a number of years ago. I've got to use a pair of scissors to turn it on, so it really is getting past it. But for now, perfectly usable. Well, that's basically it, I think. I don't have much else to add. I don't know when this is going to go out, but I hope you all have a Merry Christmas when it comes, and a nice New Year, and you all stay safe and whatnot. And this could be months before this gets posted, so it could be meaningless, that. But anyway, thank you very much, and all the very best for now. If you want to contact me, I can be contacted at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So until next time, thank you and goodbye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.